Yes, today is our last prayer meeting for the year. That's Tuesday meeting. And let me just, since today is our last day, it's just a good time to just explain one or two things, which will be, because we're going to be gone for some month, for some weeks. And there are just two points I want to make from this. You know, the issue about these Tuesday prayer meetings, actually, I've been saying it again and again, the aim is to create a new habit, all right, in Christians. The aim is to have people pray with understanding. That's the basic thing. I was in my office yesterday, and I was talking with some people. All right, I went to one department to go and see some of my colleagues, and there were some women there. They were discussing something just led to it. All right, and when I started talking about prayer, now I was playing most of the time, even though what I was saying, I was believing it. And if I start repeating, you are going to start laughing. So something led to it. Fasting, all right? So the woman, one of them said that she's going to, sorry, let me not mix the story. I can't remember how I started, but along the line, it was said that you go on 40 days fast. I said, me, never, never, I won't do it. 40 days, 40, no, is that 3 days? 3 days, no food, no water. No, is that 3 days fast? I said, explain it, what kind of fast? I said, no food, no water. I said, me, I'm not going to do it. I didn't kill anybody. So they say, no. You haven't had serious problems before. I said, I will pray serious prayer. You know, things like that were going on. They will toss one to me that one woman said, it is not every mountain you bring down. Some of them you have to climb them. I said, why should I climb with an empty stomach? No, they kept on going on. They will say one thing. I will say another. I was being deliberate. At least I wasn't doing deliberately. Even though I believed everything I was saying, one of them said, no, when things are down, you have to pray. No, you have to fast. I said, what kind of fast? No food, no water. I said, I'm sorry, I did not kill anybody. He said, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I said, he died for the whole world. Am I planning to do that? That is, they will say one thing, I will say another. Say, Jesus, I said, by the way, he wasn't hungry. Hey, another argument. How can somebody be fasting and not be hungry? I don't know. That's just what the Bible says. He was not hungry. There were two women, friends, they came together. But they, they are both Christians, they don't go to the same church. So occasionally, both of them will be on together against me. Then I would have, that's why I used to separate them. Like when I said that, once you can fast for 3 hours. So the other one didn't hear her friend say it. I said, 3 hours. I said, well, they say you fast coming for 3 hours. He said, no, it's not possible. How can you fast for 3 hours? I said, your friend said it, not me. She refused to acknowledge that her friend said it. So I took the friend, turned her around. I said, look at who said it, not me. But we kept on going up and down. I'm going somewhere with all of these discussions. There's another woman who was sitting down there. That one got involved in it. Saying, when some things are serious, you will start fasting. I said, where did the Bible say so? She said, this is not about quoting the Bible. I said, it is so. Then she made a statement. No, I made a statement. I said, but Anna didn't fast, and God heard her. They said, Anna fasted. I said, I lie. Anna did not fast. Finally, I opened my Bible. They had left that time. That the Bible said, after Anna had eaten and had drunk, I visited drunk or drank, whatever, inhaled some liquid, that she now went to pray, and God answered. The other woman was there, the last one was there that time, and I read that thing out. She kept quiet. Now, I'm going. There's a reason I'm going about on and not about these things. I just realized that people form the habit. They can't defend some of these habits from scriptures. If I say this other one, that anyway, let me not give you all the gist. I said something that's very, very funny, you know. I said they have a lot of habits which cannot be defended from scriptures. And as I was talking with them, though I was playing most of the time, but I realized that people form serious habits. Serious habits. All right? Not based upon the revelation of the Word of God. Not even just what those women were saying that yesterday, but many other things. And they expect God to answer because of that. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. That is, they form their own habits, make up their mind, it becomes a tradition. Somebody started it. Let me give you an example. I will say this clearly, I know some people will not agree. In fact, I am sure a lot of people listening to this, not you that are here, you know me already, so you still keep coming, you are used to it. But some listening to this, yeah, it's true. When I say it, I know they won't. They think that something is wrong with me. I said, why should you declare a 40-day fast? Nothing wrong with it. If you ask, like I told those women, I said, did you sin? If you sin, confess now. And if you confess, who said you were not heard? I said, why must I be hungry for 40 days? Say, when the thing is serious. I said, when things are serious, you take serious faith, serious confession of the word of God. Now, I'm going somewhere. But people made it a habit that I said, and then, okay, now I know where the discussion began from. Oh, I have to give you the genesis of the discussion. Because there was a statement I made there. My colleagues that were there, they were just watching. All right? I noticed that one of them was listening to me very attentively. All right? And it was one that amplified the statement I'm about to make. Now, this is where one of the women started from. There were some monies that she got paid. You know, civil service stuff. You know, this monetization thing that Obasanjo did long ago. Some people didn't get their money that time. This is years ago. So they're just suddenly getting it. There were some mistakes here and there. And if you work for civil service that time, you know, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. People were getting hundreds of thousands of naira. In fact, it was so much, but it was nationwide. Every federal worker got the money. In case you want to know what it's about. Before, you know, if you're a federal government worker, some people are tied to a house and, you know, car. Obasanjo just said, this is just a waste of government funds. Let me pay the money to people. Then you go, if you like, go and use your money to fly. All right? Instead of government having to maintain a car for your office. They call it monetization. So the thing was spread to everybody's salary. So it was a lot of money for all the federal government workers. So the government had to pay it twice. All right? Now, some didn't get one or both installments. So this woman finally got her own recently. That's where the discussion is. So they were now teasing her, say, you finally got your money. And you know where my passenger left office now? You know, that was when the monies were paid. And so some people are just getting their own this year. You can imagine. I mean, I must have eaten mine. You know what I'm saying? That was quite a long time ago. I mean, your passenger left office now. 2007. Abi? Yes. So you can imagine. So about 6 years. So someone asked, telling that woman that you will share with your girl or else, if only somebody else. He said, was it there when I was fasting? That's where the discussion started from. Are you getting my point? That was where the discussion started from. So that one, she was telling that woman that, no, why should I give him the money? Was it there when I was fasting? That she had to fast and pray all these years for her money, to balance of her money to come out. That was it there when I was doing all of this? So I didn't even catch that one at the beginning before I walked into the rest of it. So that was what they were discussing about and I got involved. So along the line, I didn't hear that part too, but I was not saying something after the discussion that ended. I was not kind of teaching. I said, this is the problem with Christians, that we want to share part of the glory with God. That we will say to him, I was the one that fasted. You were the one that answered. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, I did the fasting. I did the praying. You, God, did the answering. So we actually shared the glory. I don't know whether you caught that. I want to give the testimonies about, then I fasted. Then I began to pray. Then the eye is there. So everybody looking at you, hey, Baba, prayer warrior. Okay, now. You know, so everybody is hailing you. The next time they have problems, they call you. Say, that sister, Wow, hey, she can pray. That's what they call collecting part of the glory. So I said that, all right? I didn't hear the earlier part of their discussion. So that man now said that, don't mind her. That's when I now heard it. That she was asking, said, what you are saying is very correct. What you are saying is very correct. They want to take part of the glory. Look at her asking whether that man was there when she was fasting. I don't know whether you got that. That is, I can't give him some of my money because while I was fasting for that money, he did not participate. He was eating. That is, this money is a reward for my fasting. And why should he participate in the reward when he did not join in the fasting? Whether you say it or not, you have taken part of the glory. Yes, that's where it started from. Now, why am I saying these things? A lot of us, if we are not taught, and that's one thing about it, there is nothing defaultly, that is, you were born with the right idea about it. There's nothing like that. You have to learn. Until some people heard me say some things, it never crossed their minds that those things were not right. That is this issue of taking glory, you know, come and declare how much fasting you did. Listen, that was why we began this. I'm going to throw all of this, all right, because, like I said, it's the end of the year. This is our last prayer meeting for the year. I just wanted to explain what we are doing again and to encourage people in how to handle life, all right? So this is what we're trying to do to get Christians to understand, to have the right thoughts about this prayer thing, very important. And why God is leading us in that direction is because it's actually very vital not only for our lives, but for us to be effective in our environment. Are you getting my point? You know, something happened to me personally a few days ago. I realized that, you know, in my place of work, in the hospital, I've had a lot of issues because I head the department, and so a lot of things rest on my shoulders, and I feel the burden, the pain in quotes, when things are not working properly. So I realized that what I've been doing a lot of time is complaining. And, you know, like I tell people not to complain, I need to listen to those messages myself. All right? Life can be tempting. Are you getting me? And for some weeks, not just more than days, some things have been happening and really, really gotten me angry. And if I tell you the details, I'm right. Every man's way, rightness now. I'm very right. You will see it line by line that, yes, you are correct. They are wrong. And there is no they, actually. The system is kind of wrong. Are you getting my point? Not one person. You know, and I had an issue with somebody, all right? He wasn't doing what I felt he should be doing by virtue of the kind of power that he had. So I was really angry. Why are you obstructing my flow? We could do things better. You are not allowing us. You know, we just keep talking. Every day I sit down, I am angry. Sometimes they bring up things. I get up and I just say, I'm going home. These guys are frustrating me. Then one day I sat down, I was meditating, I realized, oh boy, all you have been doing is complaining. Why don't you pick that matter? Now listen to this, and seriously use it, use prayer to handle it. So that day as I was going to work, this is a real testimony. In the morning I woke up and I began to declare the word of God, you know, over all this obstruction, these problems, I was speaking the word over them. Then I got to the office. And then another of those problems commenced. Now, because there's a way civil service works, you know, federal government. I'm the head of the department, so they approve some money, 20,000 naira, what they call imprest. A lot of us never buy imprest. So when you finish spending the imprest, you do what they call retirement, and then they give you another one. Now, the problem with my office is that retiring the interest can be really difficult. So before that one comes back, you will have spent from your pocket more than the money they are going to pay. And as the head of the department, you know, most of the bulk stops at your table. So either you refuse to say, okay, sorry, there's no money, and nothing is working, or you make things work, but this time around, with your own personal funds. Somebody will come to me and say, something's not working. And they'll call the person who will repair it, and he says, 4,000 naira. So I tell the person, 4,000 naira, no problem. When I get the money, I give it to you. So what do we do meanwhile? I don't know. I've started doing that over the last few weeks. Before, I didn't used to do it. I'll just say, all right, 4,000. I open my bag if I have money. If not, I say, okay, tomorrow when I come to work, I give it to you. Just make sure you get my receipt to take it to someone, simply let them stamp it and file it. I stopped doing that. I had gotten angry. So that day after I finished praying, that's why I'm telling the story. When in the morning, I started declaring over my work, talking over it, just confessing favor and all of that. And I got to the office. No, the previous day, they had told me that we didn't have glass lights. What happened? Why was it not supplied? I went through the supply book and everything. Oh, they did not issue an award letter to the person who won the tender. I said, my God, what do we do? Okay, go to the market, get me a market survey. Let's see whether we can quickly buy some. That wasn't going to work. You understand? So that was an getting back to the office that day. Work was going to, in fact, the woman came and said, what do we do? Slides have finished, none again. And I said, stop the work now. Let the CMD will soon feel it. You know, I've gotten to that kind of level. I was just angry. And freeze the whole thing. Work stops. He will soon feel it too. But that day when I got to the office, that day when I woke up, and I started meditating, and I let be praying over this thing, not just getting angry and complaining. I began to declare favor and all of that. This was the manifestation, which is my testimony. I got to work that number one, my heart has softened. There was one wiring we had to do. The guy told me we had to pay 6,000, and I just opened my bag, gave him 6,000. Okay, go and do it. Get my receipt for me, okay? When he now came and said, what about the glass lights? Now, notice I've been, this time around, complaining. I put it aside. I give thanks and I declare, ask God for favor. Then the Lord now gave me ideas. So what do we do? The guy went to do market survey. It didn't work out. It was too expensive. What they had in the market, I didn't even have that money. I just said, come on, who's the person that was supposed to give us this? He said, oh. So I just said, is it the one? Do you have his number? No. I called my accountant. Please get it good for us. Tell him, please, whether I can supply this thing. And he said, call him now. I said, look, I've never called him. It's going to be right now for me to be calling him the first. I said, tell him I'm going to call him, then I will now call. And he said, he's on his way to the village for a funeral. I said, just call him, send me his phone number. Tell him I'm going to call, then I'll not call him. He knows me. Okay, the guy said, all right. Except that I came out of the office maybe like an hour later. And my chief lab scientist came and said that she was smiling. Ah, madam, why are you smiling? That they brought a whole carton of slides. From where? You know, in that short interval, that guy had made the call. Do you understand? The text he sent to me was not delivered until like 12 midnight. So I didn't even get the text to call the man. But that man, he just, from wherever he was, he just called one of his boys. That one went to his store, brought a huge carton of slides, and dumped it on us that, okay, you guys continue working. We'll settle it later. Now, why am I giving the testimony? If it was 2 days before, the complaining and and the anger in my soul, I would have grounded my department to a halt. Not my fault. Now, you must understand this side. This is righteousness, self-righteousness now. It would have been my fault. But you know, in the face of God, that's what I'm telling you this testimony. If they say, why are things not working there? You know what he would have said? He wouldn't blame my CMD. He wouldn't blame the system. Why are things not working? He said, my son I put in there, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I told you, be careful. When you are pointing fingers like this, they have a saying on my side. When you point a finger, the other ones are pointing backwards. All right? Yes, that's a matter of fact. Many of the things we are complaining about, all right, we actually, and that's what we are trying to do in this prayer series, teaching people that you have a different attitude towards life and understand the power of prayer. God just allowed this to happen this last week, yes. I believe so, partly so I can give it as a testimony and use it to encourage people. That day I got to work, I realized that if it was 2 days before and I had gone with this, I'm angry, I'm complaining, I would have gotten there. Nothing would have gotten done. Do you understand? Now, this one, I didn't spend my personal money. Though I did on some other things, but on the major one that would have had to drop like 20,000 naira to just get a small bit, this man just dropped, I didn't even know the volume he dropped. So I told him on Monday we'll start processing the payment and all that. Let's see how we're going to get over that one. So I see it as a manifestation of favor. Are you getting my point? Simply because that morning when I woke up in the morning, the Holy Spirit had gotten it to me that, oh boy, stop complaining. Why don't you ask God for favor, all right, for your workplace? And that actually affected him immediately. Yes, there's a system problem out there, but I cannot afford to focus on that system problem and allow things to go wrong under my watch. In fact, over the last few days, I've sat down at a point in time and said, okay, for all the anointing prayer that you Christians have, will it be right for you to occupy this seat and there is no major difference because you have the system to blame? I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, that won't be right. That would not be right. That wouldn't be right. All right? Now, why am I saying all of these things? I want us to understand, again, I'm just summarizing what I've been doing the whole year. You know, our last school of prayer. So what we are doing is getting Christians to have the new habit, new perspective. That discussion I had with those women, it brought something to my light. I said, this is how a lot of Christians reason. They are mechanical. They don't have biblical foundation for a lot of the things that they do, and they expect results. And unfortunately, God will not say, because you don't know what you are doing, he will allow you to do what is wrong and bless what is wrong. He will not. I've said it before, all that God owes the man, the woman that's walking in error, is correction. That's all he does. He owes you, as a sign of, when I say, oh, now in quotes, that is a manifestation of his blessing, his favor. He corrects you so you can do that which is right. All right? Prayer, we have been explaining again and again, it's a habit that one forms, and I'm emphasizing again, it's a habit of doing what is right in that area. Are you getting me? So when we see issues, our primary attitude towards it must not be that of complaining. For example, if you are married here, say amen. All right, that means if you're married, you married a woman or you married a man, so you either have a husband or you have a wife. You know, one of the temptations of life is when this your husband or this your wife starts doing something. In fact, this is the most annoying one of them. I've been married for 14 years now. It applies to men, applies to women. It's when your spouse keeps doing the same thing that you have told, okay, I'm a man now, let me use the her. You've told her to stop doing. The same thing. People have used all kinds of methods to try and explain how to get over it. One of our brothers then said that his wife was very careless, so he used to get angry all the time. After a while, he stopped getting angry. He realized that this girl is not planning to change. So he stopped complaining and started just taking care where she's refusing to take care. So one day he found his wife's certificate on the floor in the house. Certificate, university degree certificate. He didn't complain. He collected it, dusted it, cleaned it, and went and filed it properly. Then one day the woman came. Hey, honey, have you seen my certificate? He searched it everywhere. Hey, my certificate. The guy went, brought it out and said, here it is. He didn't say anything, though. That is in the interest of long life and prosperity. You don't have to talk about everything. About the certificate. Now, the temptation, of course, this is the point, is that you will settle down and start thinking. And you start talking and start criticizing and you start getting angry and you start rehearsing that thing again and again and again and again. It's a temptation. Most men, apart from very perfect men, fall for it. Of which I'm not one of the perfect people. I'm just aspiring that I may know him and the power of his perfection in that area. We are still walking, amen? And I've seen many people, so I know you now walk plenty past my own. The way all of them are nodding. The Lord is good. All right, but you see, these are the little things that, those are the thing areas, important areas that we actually forget to employ the power of prayer. My wife discovered that one earlier than me, all right? So, in fact, she used it to testify before. You just sit down there and be like, this man. And she wants to start. Then she just realized, among the things that I have taught but I have not heard, you know, there are things you teach you didn't hear. You just talk. Yes, actually, a lot of it is actually satanic. It's not you. No, I've said that here before. Yeah, you may have some legitimate reasons, but after a while, Satan said, just drag chair, save my brother. I did your side, though. Sit down and say, that's what them be. Once Satan starts agreeing with you, be afraid. Just in a lie. So that one, my wife just said, no, in the name of Jesus, my husband is a good man. He loves me. By the time you do that for 5 minutes, Satan will look you. Get away, my friend. First, he even won't help you. Just they talk. That's literal get behind me, Satan. You don't have to even, he just gets up and leaves you alone. And the joy of the Holy Spirit, all right, will fill your heart. Are you getting my point? And actually, I don't want to go into that now. Many things in life that you think are real, they actually are not real. There's one program that we've been watching in our house, all right? If you have, is it National Geographic or Discovery World? Brain Games. All right. Every day we watch Brain Games when we can, all right? It's a National Geographic program. They will show you, all right? There's a spiritual application to it, that many of the things you think are real in life, they are not. And they'll be demonstrating it for you. That those circles moving in this direction, you say, yes. It's okay, look at this side. They will move the circle. Say, okay, now I'm going to tell you that they are moving the opposite direction. So, believe me, I'm not altering the picture. Just look. You look. Ah, they are moving the opposite direction. Say, look away. There's a way they'll just show it to you. You realize a lot of things you perceive in life are not even as real as you think. That's even the physical realm. In spiritual things, they are like that also. Many people are blessed, thoroughly blessed. God is showering abundance upon them. Do you know what they are doing? Is complaining. Why? Because they focus on, there are 100 things, 5 are not working well. God is ensuring that 95 are working well. But those 5 is all they think about. So since you think of 5, and 5 out of 5 are not working well, it looks like 100% isn't working well. But if you had the ability, that's why David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And let me put a modern word to it, recount to mind all his benefits. There are many things you don't think about as benefit. You wake up in the morning, you don't let me tell you something. This what I want to say is a matter of fact, very, very simple. Do you know your sins are forgiven? Yes. But you know, every day doesn't feel like this because nobody is trying to say, look at the sin that I forgave. Have you remembered it now? Nobody's putting it in your face. So that's why David listed them one by one. That's recount those things to mind. When you do, you realize that actually things are much better than you realize. You know, there's a story I tell once in a while. I read it many, many, many years ago. One man sat down one day and said, this world is a wicked world. He wanted to hang himself, so he had the noose up there. So before he would hang, he said, the only thing he has left in this world is just these 2 wraps of money. Can you imagine a whole man like me? Let me just eat it and then hang and die. And the guy chopped, you know, money in leaves. He had the 2 wraps of money. Was about to hang himself. Meanwhile, one man they watching him, watching the moimoi or the wine. So as the moimoi leaves dropped, that guy rushed the leaves. Say, ah, okay, if I say you're not hungry, the guy begins to scoop the bottom. That is, do you understand? The guy had moimoi, ate it, threw away the leaves. One man was watching, saw the leaves, saw the scrap of moimoi remaining. So he said, okay, if I say you're not hungry, that one begins to scrape the leaves. lick the leaves. And that one was not committing suicide. I don't know, do you understand the point? He wasn't committing suicide. The man that had more, that he ate enough and could throw away the ones attached to the leaves, was committing suicide. He didn't remember to count his moimoi as a blessing. If he bought that, he would have realized that there are many other things in his life, all right, that were blessings of God, and that would have given him hope, that would have given him courage to conquer. Do you understand the point I'm making? You know, I don't know how this story will apply, but I just like telling because I remembered it yesterday. I remember Robert Shula? Robert Shula said when they were young, his father was so poor, the family, they were so poor that all they had the of course, they were farmers. They had one cow or something, all right? And then one day, a tornado came. He said in his little childhood exuberance, he thought that, oh, this is a good thing. Let me see a tornado. But all of them ran away. By the time they came back, the tornado had leveled their house and killed their cow. And that one day, the father was riding in his horse and stuff for him back home. But he got to a river, to a bridge. The man stood at the edge of the bridge and wanted to jump inside. The only reason why he didn't jump was that he remembered his wife and his son. That if things are this difficult while I'm with them, if I die, they will suffer more than they have suffered. And for that reason, that man didn't commit suicide that day. And he walked back home. I don't know why I told this story, but at the end of the day, that his little boy became the world-famous Robert Shula that you and I know today that we can be talking about. Are you getting my point? That is a life. That's not just how it is. So let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. So we're trying to get, by learning the word of God, people to understand how to handle life. Not just go around complaining all the time when there are issues. I was talking about husband, wife. Those negative things are, again, to be spoken to the Lord about and to be prayed about. Seriously. They are to be spoken, that is, when I say spoken to the Lord about and prayed about, what I mean is that, one, you pray about it, talk to God, then there are times you just declare the word of God over it. Look at the positive side, and you start declaring the word of God, and you will just find that, again, literally, the Spirit of God enters into the home and makes things better than they were before. That is a power, and is it what I want to use now? That's a benefit, one of the benefits of being a believer. You know, I mean, my wife and I was talking about something the other day. I said, hey, I think about those who are not Christians. They try. You know, it's with pity. You're a married woman. You're not a believer. Your husband is not a believer. Ah, you now try. And as now they take manage and not understand. Because when some of the problems of life come into that home, what do people do? This is when people run to Babalawo, don't be angry. Just preach to them. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes, we say, man, go join cults. Don't, not like, ah, I can't. Preach to him. Did he understand there are better cults to join? Show him the way to your own cult. You understand? This cult of Christianity is sweet. Explain to the man, this one, no serious sacrifice. Don't mind the pastor saying you must sacrifice money. God doesn't even collect that one. The only sacrifice is once and for all. You, just come, give your life to Christ. We slaughter you spiritually. All right? You drain your life away. We put the life of God in it. Then you start living for Christ. That's all. Everything you do is no longer a sacrifice. I don't know what I get the point. Yes, in that form, in that it takes something away from you, as I was giving that money, it was as if I was giving my blood. It's your selfishness, all right? It's true. Sometimes we glorify bad habits. See, as I was giving the money, it was as if I was giving my intestine. It is because you are still too attached to money. That's why it's paining you. Otherwise, in real Christianity, it's just one of those things. Are you getting my point? Yes, you just give an offering, and just one of those things. You explain to that fellow, this is the real cult. This is where you need to belong. It's free. Why? Somebody paid. And he said, only what? Believe. Now, why I said that is that life can be very, very tough. So when I see people don't have where to go, I just wonder. You know, I just wonder. Those days, one day Bishop Michael Conquo was preaching in Winners, their convention, he came there to preach. So he was supposed to take an altar call. He made a statement which I repeat once in a while. The man said, you're in this Lagos, you're not born again. You are bold, dude. That is your own boldness. That's what he said. But I remember that day. He said, it's like this. You are in this Lagos, you're not born again. But boy, you are very bold. That's what he said, that you are very bold. That means I don't have that degree of boldness. I have to hide somewhere. Let me tell you where I'm hiding. I'm hiding in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? I'm picking an issue that life can be very tough, but God has given us that privilege as a believer to pray about things constantly, and indeed He answers prayers. And indeed He answers prayers. His answers to prayers give you, the first thing He does is to give you a good sleep. Yeah, that's the first thing. Paul said that, he said, in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. That is, if you were not sleeping before, once you finish praying about something, you doze over, you are praying about it. Now, that's what Christianity is. I'm talking about prayer. It becomes a habit. And prayer is not just what... next year, I want to start that thing again. I don't know whether it's on Saturdays or we'll make it Saturdays and Tuesdays. You know, this thing I say on the side, and we laugh, and then we practice it, then we laugh every time I say this thing about cult, the practice of the Christian cult, you understand? I really want to explain it properly. I'm still trying to say whether I'll just do it on Saturdays alone or on Tuesdays alone, or Saturday and Tuesday, so we can film it and put it on air. So that, because the other day I was reading, and this is very important, you see it. Let's read it, you just see what I'm saying. It's 2 Kings chapter, well, it's in many portions in Isaiah, it's in 2 Kings. Let's read the one that's easier for me to quickly get to. All right, let's start from Isaiah chapter 37. Now, we won't read everything, okay? But there's something I saw there. I was listening to it in 2 Kings, but it's the same thing that's in Isaiah 37. You know the story of Sennacherib, right? King of Assyria, to come against Judah, to Jerusalem. And then they wrote letters and all of that. And in verse 14, Hezekiah took the letters from the hand of the messengers and read it. And they went to the house of the Lord and spread out before the Lord. And then he prayed the prayers that he prayed. Then God now answered in verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent word to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Now, see, there's a reason why I read this. Like I told you, I won't read everything, but bear this in mind. He said, because you have prayed to me about this problem, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against the issue. He said, she has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. And that's the word of God. She has spoken her head, she has shaken her head behind you, O daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes against the Holy One of Israel? Through your servants you have reproached the Lord, and you have said, with my chariot, many chariots, I came up to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedars and all of that. Verse 26, he said, have you not heard? Long ago I did it. From ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should do this and do that. He now said, verse 28, I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me and because of your arrogance, and because your arrogance has come to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. Now, that was the word of God, all right, about Sennacherib. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know whether you're following it. That was, now if you read it, it's almost like a song. You know, please, I'm hoping you are connecting what I'm saying. You read it as if, it's almost like a song you can read. Like a song, because it wasn't really saying anything directly to Isaiah. He said, hear the word of the Lord about that man. After that, he now said to Isaiah, this shall be a sign for you. Then, if you go down to verse 33, he now said, Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there. He will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, by the same way he will return. He will not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And then something that happened to him in verse 36, that's to the Assyrian army. Please follow me. You will see that there was a long poem, there was a long word which God spoke about the situation. That something struck me with that when I saw it. You know what God is saying to Christians? Every situation in life, do you understand? I have spoken a word like that about it. It was based upon this word that God has spoken that he now gave a direct word to Ezekiah that this is what will happen. That is, even if this is not what happened, all right, God can solve it by any way. But there was one constant word that he had released concerning Sennacherib. And this is the job of believers. Take that word and turn it into a song. Now, I said to you before, this is what songs are. Because many years ago, I thought about it. Why do we sing? It's because it's easy to say it over and over again. You can feel the air around you with it. You can feel your heart with it. All right? You can feel your heart with it. You can feel your head with it. You can feel the ears of your children with it. You can feel the ears of your spouse with it. That's what a song is. When you're just chanting and reciting, after a while it's tiring. But you can sing a song for hours and you not get tired. And that is why, let me say it to you again. Again, small digression. Does not be very careful when it comes to secular music. Be very careful. Be very careful. Don't just say it's just music. Music is not just. Anything that has words is not just. The words matter. All right? When they start singing all these sexual songs and all of that, don't sing them. They are not good. Because anytime you are rehearsing words, you are empowering something. Are you getting my point? Don't ever forget it. Anytime you are rehearsing words, you are empowering something. You must know what you are empowering. So all you need to do is say, who should I just listen to the words once. I told you the first day I heard Snoop Doggy Dogg, I thought this guy exquisitely talented. I wasn't into rap music really, because by the time rap music was getting very, very popular, I was a serious believer, I was were singing serious praise, so all this rap thing. Yeah. But I still like good music, all right? So in fact, the only rap music we used to listen to those days, there were two of them. There was a Steve Wiley, Bible Break. I don't know how many of you ever heard it. No, you most likely. It wasn't very, very good, but that time it was the only thing we had. Praise the Lord, for goodness sake, we're all going to take the Bible break, you know? I look back now, very dry, but I'm telling you, when your fingers start to pop and your feet start to tap, you're listening to the righteous rap, you know? And it's cool. Oh, yeah, yeah. I look very bad music, but it was okay. That was the only one we had. Then one guy now came, Michael Peace. Michael Peace, he had one rhyme. The first track was, my God, the thing was, oh, you know, seriously. Michael Peace, all right? I won't sing the song for you, I've forgotten part of it anyway, but very nice. I really like it. Slow rhythm. His own rap was slow, all right? Very nice. But anyway, one day, after graduating, I went to see a friend of mine. I heard Snoop Doggy Dogg. And I said, my God, this guy is good. So I put in the CD, put on the volume. He sang two lines. I come out the CD, drop him somewhere. I said, what? Why can't this guy talk like a normal human being? What is nonsense, Doc? I'm serious. I consider the guy just too talented when it comes to rapping. That is, the guy raps flawless, that is, as if he's chewing gum. That is, the thing just flows. But I heard two lines of this rubbish he's singing. I said, not here. I removed the CD, threw him. Told the ones, I heard this guy too. What is his name? Shaggy. Oh, God. I said, this guy, God gave him a gift. And the first one I heard was, why me, Lord? I just said, they go shush. By the time somebody caught somebody sleeping with the girl next door, now no matter how nice you sound, you not only, you know, there are some people that they don't say anything, like this guy Two-Face. Most of his music I've heard, they're very nice, they sound okay, but after I did it a few times, they don't even edify my soul. It's nice sounding. Or some condemn your soul once they start talking. The band, he will condemn your soul. There and then, it puts a weight around you. Your prayer can't go beyond your windscreen anymore. Thank you, not here. The other guys, I mean, they sing some very nice songs, but generally, when you hear songs, hear the words. Hear the words. All right? I'm not talking about music now. The words don't agree with your spirit. Don't lead your spirit. Drop it. Some of them are even church songs. Just drop them. There are songs I will not sing, no matter how spiritual they sound. If Jim Reeves comes back and I say, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through, I won't sing it. You are removing my ability to conquer. You are removing my ability to conquer. I won't sing it. Even though it's church, I will not sing it. I hear the word, because when you are rehearsing things, you are empowering something. And for those of you who are married like me, please, go and look for some people who know how to sing some good, romantic. Like I said, those kind of songs that bring down the atmosphere for miracles is important to you. You should have songs like that. You should. And not only have it, you know, you should play it once in a while. And if you are playing it, you know, when your wife comes home, you will just, come here, baby. You know, that kind of thing. Atmosphere for miracles. It's very, you know, even if you don't vex it before, you know, every lyric you listen to, you utter with your mouth is empowering something. If you can see me, I have this set of, I have this one that I used for my wife that time, 15 years ago. You know, we married 14 years ago, so years before that. Songs of Solomon. Yes, volume one. Color My Love, you know, I have those songs, you know. Very, very serious songs. It's a good one. African Queen, what's the name of that guy? Two-Face, if you can grab it, hold it. It's good. And just sit down one day, just sit down for house. You're my African queen, girl of my dream. That is just a singam. A singam. It's good. When your wife arrives, then she'll just be looking like an African queen. Do you understand? Then you go and do poster African queen. They won't know what happened. It's what you have been meditating on and incubating. Anybody talk nonsense, don't sing his song. Even if he's in church, he sang it. No, even if not church, if the words don't look, because back to the main thing I'm saying, if the what you rehearse all the time, all right, is empowering something in your life. Back to why I read that. You see, God gave lyrics. God gave Moses a song that was supposed to be a song of repentance to help people come back to God when they're in trouble. Because he said, teach your children this song, that it will become a generational song. They won't even know why they are singing it until one day they will be singing in the midst of their troubles. They just say, wait, this was what the man of God said. And that's the word of God for how to come out of troubles. Back to this one. These were the words, these were the lyrics of the song that they were singing in heaven concerning Sennacherib. And any Israelite, this is what Judah would have been singing about him to solve their problems. Because Isaiah said, hear the word of the Lord about him. And then he gave him the words. And that gave Isaiah a sign. And I said, now hear what is going to happen. Then he now gave Isaiah the prophetic word concerning what was going to come to pass. But before that, he said, hear what God says about the situation. And I'm saying to you again, every situation in life has something that God not just has said, but says about it. And this is what every member of his group, his cult, will do. They say the same thing. Listen, every situation in life has something that God said. Or he's saying. This is what prayer is. We learn what he's saying about the situation. And then we turn it into a song. Hey, I pray that anyway, when we start our school of ministry, I'm going to do that. I'm going to have sessions for people who write songs. Just to explain some of, I don't write songs, but to explain these principles. That when you are writing songs, write songs that brethren can, the people of God can fill their lives with. Songs that address different situations. You write songs of, and when you talk about songs of praises, you see, we thank God for all the songs that describe this might of God about how great he is compared to Jupiter, how only he make the galaxies innumerable, how only he is a God of the, like the one I like, of light, unapproachable, who at the same time dwells in the kind of darkness that we don't know. All those kind of descriptions is good, though. It's in the Bible. The truth is that there's a revelation about them which when you catch, you will understand. But most people don't understand. I can say as of today, only astrophysicists, all right, can understand some of the scriptures with their believers. when they talk about the expanse of the heaven, some of us, the only heaven we know is between here and when the plane flies. We are not able to comprehend. You understand? The other day, my son asked me something. We're watching a National Geographic, and they made a statement about, is it a Big Bang or something like that? And I said, what is a Big Bang? I said, when you get to secondary school, when you finish secondary school, doing advanced physics, we'll talk about it. Because I don't know where to start from. But you analyze some things, you know. I said, what's a supernova? I said, a supernova? How do I explain to this boy what a supernova is? Even the adults listen to prayer teaching right now. Half of them are wondering what a supernova is. How do I not explain to a little boy in junior secondary school what a supernova is? I said, don't worry. The time will come. We'll discuss supernovas. For now, just forget about it. In the same manner, many things in the scriptures. Now, an astrophysicist that has seen all of those things, all right? If he's a believer, he will be able to understand the might of God. He will be able to understand it. Those scriptures will be alive to him. But for most of us, come on. We don't even know what they're talking about there. So I would like to advise those who write songs, all right? Write songs that the believers will fill their lives with it, and it address different situations for them at different times. Real things. Because when we talk about praises, that's what I'm talking about. When you're writing about the praises of God, let me tell you what praise is it. Now listen to this. You need a new car, and then they just increase the tariff on imported cars, and they're not manufacturing locally yet. Now this is what praise is. Now listen to this. So you call your wife. Now wow. What did man go do for this country? They won't kill common man. Those that have the power to kill common man. Jonathan. Sambo. What's the name of that woman? Okonjo-Iweala. Who's the head of customs. Anyway, those people, they want to kill common man. You are ascribing greatness to them. Are you seeing that? Now a man can buy a car again. You are ascribing greatness to economic policies. You must understand what praise is. These people, that's why they will scatter. You don't vex. You see, also, you don't vex. Why? You are ascribing greatness to government, ascribing greatness to customs, ascribing greatness to a political party, and that's why you are reacting like that. In case you did not know, that's why it's called praise. Many of our grumblings and complainings in life is actually praising the wrong thing. I don't know whether you heard me. Praise is to, you know, he said, ascribe greatness to our Lord. He's the rock. Are you getting my point? That is, he said, don't ascribe greatness to an economic policy. Because when you make such statements, what you're actually doing, you are making it impossible to buy that car, because it just jacked up the tariff on importation. The extra 500,000, 1 million naira will have been required, all right, to get it, you won't have it. Why? You have ascribed greatness to the wrong thing. That's why songs that are, when you're talking about ascribing greatness, songs of praise, is to ascribe greatness proper. That's why it annoys me when you hear Christians talk. This entity will call Nigeria self. What is wrong? That's why there's no peace. There was a serious matter that happened in Maiduguri. I think it was yesterday. I don't know why you read about it. You read comments on it. That's called ascribing greatness to Nigeria as a nation, ascribing greatness to leaders. Those who ascribe greatness to God, they ask for more mercy for the land, and they continue to declare the word of God against those situations of security problems. So, I wanted to buy that car, and that happened. I laugh. The Bible says, he that sits in the heavens laughs. You see, when people, that Psalm 2 is one of the, in fact, is a song of God concerning when enemies gather against you and gather against the body of Christ. It's not just to go and pray, God, look at these enemies. It's to take a song of God. This is the word of God concerning Sennacherib. This is the word of God. Why do the people, the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Are you getting my point? And he says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. So when there is a situation like that, one of the first responses is laugh. You're not laughing because it's funny. You are laughing because he that sits in the heavens shall what? Laugh. Now, so that laughter is not because it's funny. A laughter is a statement of heaven concerning the situation. I hope you get what I'm saying. It is not because it's funny. It's heaven's statement. So you now say, okay, listen, even the, what do you call it? There's one scripture. Even though the young lions lack and suffer hunger, say those that seek the Lord will not lack any good car. That's the word of God. Those that seek the Lord will not lack any good car. It's there. It's in the scripture. Any good thing. That is, what you are doing right now is that you are ascribing greatness. Now, there's a 1 million era difference, we know. But 1 million is not God. I hope you understand that. What that means really is that it cannot say you will have that car or you won't have it. No, that's the truth. When God wants to manifest, he can manifest by giving you a millionaire, dashing you the car, or removing the necessary. One way or the other, somebody can say, no, this rule will not become effective until 2016. He can manifest it different ways. But the mistake we make, and that's why we need to be corrected, is that we often ascribe greatness wrongly. Then we, after ascribing greatness to Jonathan, Sambo, Okonjo-Iweala, and the head of customs, after ascribing greatness to all these people that are not God, we now come to the church and say, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. See what happened? We are singing praises. You ain't singing praises, you are singing songs. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. You're not singing praises, you are singing songs. Ascribing greatness actually has to do with situations. You are saying, who's in charge? Who's the boss? That's what it is, ascribing greatness. Now, that's part of the habit of praying we are talking about. So back to that issue, you see, I'm bringing an issue that you see that there was a word of God concerning Sennacherib. And if you look at it, God did something there. He ascribed greatness to himself. He made a mockery of that fellow and explained to him that I'm the one in charge. You should have known that long ago I proposed it. Listen, that's a song for Christians to sing. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Now, we're talking about this prayer thing. That's just how it works. That's how it works. It becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. It's not lock myself up in the room alone. It's good. That's necessary a lot of times. Please, I'm not in any way undermining that. But it's not that alone. That was what I said. It's a habit. The song I sing while I'm in the car, it's important. How I respond to the situations of life is important. It's important. Is important. Those are the things that make for when. That's why the Bible says to us, pray without ceasing. It is possible to pray without having any interruption. It is. And that is the advantage that believers have. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. And that's the fact that sometimes, remember we said all the time, Jesus said, the Bible says that he told a parable to them to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint or get tired or lose heart. And I told them that parable. And I said then that tells you something, that sometimes there will be reasons to be discouraged, yes. Because if that wasn't going to happen, there will be no reason for him to warn ahead that people might lose heart. Like, if you hear what happened yesterday in Maiduguri, and especially when things have been progressing the other way for some time, you suddenly hear this, like, what? What is happening now? That's the time men begin to lose heart, all right? And we have a warning that we must never let that happen. Now, there's one scripture I want you to read that is in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4. Isaiah said this. He said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. He said, yes, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. I'm not going to read beyond that just because we should be closing about now. I wanted to bring out the issue that sometimes one has done what is right, apparently, but is not getting the result that he expects. Are you getting my point? And that's what happened to Isaiah here. And what I just want to bring out with analyzing that issue of Isaiah, all right, in details, is that there is something about prayer that's like a measurement. That is like, no, not a measurement, a measurable quantity. Can you remember that in physics? Now, some of you say you ran away from physics in school. This man has brought it up now in Bible study. you know, something that you can measure, you know, like you have water, you can measure it in volume. You have electricity, you can measure it in a different way. How do you measure electricity? Everybody's saying what they like, all right? Wattage is different from amperage and is different from voltage, all right? Amperage measures a current. Wattage measures power, I think. And voltage measures voltage. Anyway, whatever it is, you can measure it. You can measure it. And electricity, you know, can be stored. You know that?
Yes.
That's why you have batteries. Your batteries are storage forms of storage media for electricity. So your car, you can charge it, all right? So that is also measurable, all right? The amount of energy you have stored in the place can be measured in watts. It's possible. You can measure many things, all right? Now, spiritual things are like that also. And I'm daring to add to it again that prayer is also like that. And it appears, we won't go into details about it, it appears as if, again, there's a measure of prayer. There are different types of prayer. But there's a measure that is necessary to get certain jobs done. And the Bible says that when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. Which means that for some time, you may have to be filling that cloud with prayer before suddenly the rain pours. And sometimes you see scriptures like, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. And it actually happens like that sometimes. But what was necessary was being done for some time. Then the rain began to pour when the cloud became full. All right? And that's what I'm trying to explain to people. Never to get discouraged. Because even though the result may not appear apparent, listen to me, the cloud is getting full. I don't know what I hear what I said. That cloud is filling up. And it's interesting about clouds. All right, that are filling up. What measurement can we use for prayer? Okay, let's use wattage because it's power, it's generating power. So let's use wattage. All right, we'll call it pneuma wattage, which is spiritual wattage. All right. So, assuming that we need about 10,000 pneuma watts to get a job done for the cloud to begin to pour rain. And what God does is to teach, that we've been instructing, because the more understanding you have, the more powerful the words, the prayers that you offer, all right? The more understanding you have. And then there's a power of righteousness, which has to do, again, also with the compassion and the seriousness you feel about the situation. All those things are put together. Understanding, your compassion, your tie to the situation, all those things are put together in your spiritual dynamo, generating the power, right? So let's assume now we need 10,000 pneuma watts to get the job done. And so God gives us the opportunity to increase our generating ability and gives us the opportunity, all right, to generate the electricity. This is the interesting part. If you stop having generated like 8,000, it will appear as if you didn't do anything. It's not all the time that it gives you small results. Sometimes it just gives you no result at all. It's what in physiology we call the all or none phenomenon. It's as if it's waiting. You have to hit the 10,000. That's why I say sow your seed in the morning and at night. Don't get tired of sowing your seed. It's very important. You keep on adding to it. You keep on adding to it. And so that the day it finally breaks, maybe the man is getting a bit tired, but then he's already hit 9,800. It does little, there, just 200 more. It's not very intense, but it's 200. And then it hits the 10,000. And then the cloud begins to pour forth rain upon the earth. And that's why be very careful of testing. No, I don't like testimonies too much. You know why? They are full of a lot of misunderstanding, misguidance, misdirection, just lead people astray. Maybe the man did something to generate the last 200 watts. But not having understanding will come up and say, hey, how to get, and then he starts a ministry on how to get results. Preaching only on the last 200 watts that he generated. And he keep on telling the story as if that's why God said, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Not people coming to give you testimonies. Because a lot of testimonies, they lead people astray. That's why people go around raising money. Go and check. All they do is tell stories. And that's why I tell people, you know, when you don't have understanding, just say, the widow of Zarephath just gave one offering, and bam, suddenly the heavens broke open. And then miracles began.
today you are going to give one offering, and then nothing will be like that in your life again. And you have given that thing how many times? Your life is still the same. You've noticed it. Why? Simply because the widow of Zarephath did not give one offering. There was a reason that Elijah got to her door. You know, I keep on saying that thing. Go home and go and pray. What was the thing that dragged Elijah to her door to be able to receive that one offering? That one offering is the 200 watts she added to the 9,800 she had generated. Many people don't have anything generated. They want to start with 200 watts. And they expect 10,000 new more watts of release. It doesn't work. That's why, I mean, testimonies. I use testimonies a lot. One of the reasons being that, of course, they are good. And I'm a teacher of the word, and I know how to filter them. I know how to filter them. You tell, there are things you will tell me, I say, oh God, wait, that one did not contribute. How do you know? That's why you came to talk to me. I'm a teacher of the word. That one did not contribute. In fact, that was your iniquity manifesting. That you got this result despite that one that you did. I have to go and ask God what else he used to help you, because this is supposed to reduce the power. I mean, let me give you one that reduces power a lot, and people use it. Should I give it to you? I began to pray. I began to remind God of all the offerings I had given. Those are the things those things, they kill power, neutralize every power you stored up. So if the man still got something, then you must ask yourself, what technique did God use? What did he employ to bless him? And God will now say, it's mercy. I know what I mean that. I said, Lord, okay, I understand. People do that a lot. They come up and say, as I was praying, I brought my checkbook and began to show God. This was a tithe. This was an offering towards that church building. And the ones that are talking like that, I say, lie, lie. This one is a lie. God did not answer you because of that. If he did, he has proven the scriptures wrong. So did you still get your result? Yes, I'm just saying that is not how you got it. There are other things that God used to give you that result, not that one. Power of self-righteousness, it does not work. As I'm very aware, people come telling me stories, I just say, oh boy, those who follow this example, they won't get anywhere. Why? The Bible says he himself does not know how. Go and read the scriptures well. Many people get results when they want to tell you the story. They don't know which part of it to amplify. He said the man went to sleep. Day by day was sleeping and waking up. The earth was busy producing. He himself does not know how. When it comes to testify, praise God. Anytime I want to sleep, I hang one leg at the side of the bed. And I lie down and I say, this leg shall not come down until there's fruit on the field. God said, he himself does not know how. Then by the seventh day, I said, I will not use the leg alone. I began to use the head. So I used to put my head at the edge of the bed. The Bible said the earth was producing. He himself does not know how. The only thing he did was to plant the seed. Anyway, I've left what I was trying to explain. Just wanted to help people. The point is this. Don't forget this is our generating thing that I'm talking about. You're generating power by prayer all the time, even if it does not look like this result. And that's why God said, if he shall turn back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That turning back thing, God doesn't like it, because you see, the man is walking, walking. He has reached 9,000 watts. Just a little while to go, then he loses heart. And that's why I teach believers, just do what is right because they are right, and don't try and count when the result will come. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Whatever you are doing, make sure it's right and make it a life habit. You will not be checking when the result will come. One day the result will come. In the same manner, prayer, it's a right habit. It's a habit of righteousness. Giving thanks in the midst of every bad thing is a habit of righteousness, not a way of manipulating God into making it right. Did you hear what I said? Giving thanks in the midst of bad things is a habit of righteousness. It is not a way by which you manipulate God into turning this thing into what we consider a right thing. Many people say that if you want God to change your situation, start thanking him for that situation. If you really are thanking him for it, why should he change it? Consider it for a moment. Listen, so if you want to thank God, learn how to thank him properly as a habit of righteousness. And that's why I have never been able to in itself say, Lord, as my hand is paining me, I thank you for the pain. Oh, Lord, thank you. I don't worship you for this pain. This pain, oh, God, thank you for the pain. Some people feel too, maybe I don't have the revelation yet. What I can, you don't say, I shouldn't thank God. No, I have my own way of doing it. In the midst of the pain, I will thank you. Because I saw Habakkuk say it, even though the victory will not blossom. Are you getting my point? We understand the even though. We will still, so even though there is pain here, Lord, I worship you. Is pain working anything in you? Yes, all things work together for good. Whatever this pain is working, I receive whatever it is working, but I still claim my faith. I still claim my healing by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not a pervert. I can never enjoy pain. Never. I refuse the ability to enjoy it. What I receive is what? The ability to endure. Anything we are enduring, we are hoping to come to an end. It's called endurance. Oh boy, this pain. I go worship the Lord. Oh boy, you go soon come out, I beg. In fact, I'm not going to have any vex in the name of Jesus. Pain, clear. Clear. Father God, as this hand is paining, I just worship you. Because it does not mean that Jesus did not die for my sickness. It doesn't mean that the pain was not nailed to the cross. It is hurting me, but I still thank you. There are many other things to thank you for. The shoulder is not hurting. The elbow is not hurting. The head is not hurting. The other leg is not hurting. The back is not hurting. Father God, I like those ones. Thank you. I like you, those ones. Thank you. This one that's hurting, I reject the pain in the name of Jesus. And as I'm rejecting it, I'm thanking you because you are good. You know what? I can do that one for a lifetime. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
But this one of using wayo for God. Lord, I just thank you for the pain. Now, come on now. I just thank you for the pain. I said, you are thanking me. Why should I remove it? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, that is very important. I tell you, anything you can't continue doing, don't start it. Those of you want to go on 40 days fast so that God can answer you. Ross, I'll see you later. I'm not joining you. You know why? I have to eat periodically. It's a commandment of God. Even Jesus Christ, when he was hungry, they went to look for food. They didn't say, you are Jesus Christ, you enjoy fasting. Did they say so? They never said so. Look, the master needs to eat. And when he saw hungry people, what did he do? He multiplied food. I don't know. So, are you going to fast 40 days? I've told you again and again. So what if God imposes it upon you? I will thank him for it because one thing he does not add is hunger. Read the scriptures. All you self-righteous people, God sent me to you today. Be delivered.
Amen.
Say amen, now it's your... No, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact. A matter of fact. I say, 40 days? Listen to me. Those saints of God that God sent me to, this is what he said I should tell you. He does not require 40 days hunger on your part to bless you, to put an anointing upon your head. He does not require it. I'll say it like that. Buddhism and Christianity are two different religions. So what if I'm a sinner? Repent. What if God wants to destroy Nineveh? Repent of your sins. Why should that one take 40 days? Why can't you do it in one day? Why? When you know that is that whatever you want to start doing, make sure it becomes what? A habit. It has to be a habit. Thanksgiving is a habit. Prayer must be what? A habit. Not something we just do so that we get quick results and then we're happy. Whatever happens in Nigeria, you know what someone said? God forbid that I should sin against him and not continue to pray for you. To constantly pray for the nation is a commandment of God for every Christian. And to constantly watch with thanksgiving, that's what we're talking about. Not praying with grumbling. There's praying with grumbling. We're talking about praying with what? With thanksgiving. Why did I bring that one up? Because sometimes results don't come as fast as people are wishing for them. But we must understand that we are adding. Sometimes you add things that your generation, your children will be the one to add to. And I'm there to say, many of the things that we are doing now, all right, we are adding to what generation started long ago. It's just that I believe that we will feel the cloud in this generation.
Amen.
That's just my own conviction. It's my conviction. I am persuaded in this my own generation we will fill the clouds and it will pour forth rain upon the earth.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
I
said the Lord is good. Let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Remember, we just summarized what we have been teaching in our school of prayer. And don't forget, it's a habit we are forming.
Just say, Father, we thank you. Let's just give him thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
I declare to you that it is well with you.
Amen.
As this year comes to an end, it is still well with you.
Amen.
You travel for Christmas, you return, it is well with you.
Amen.
It is well with all that belongs to you. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As this year comes to an end, let's just declare this way. Every frustration in your life will come to an end.
Amen.
The new year will bring for you new light,
Amen.
New progress,
Amen.
New increase,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.